538. Sonia, can you call?
Yes, ma'am. Miss Fritzy.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
He's running about 10 minutes late, so he should be moving short.
Alrighty. Mrs. Quintana. Alrighty. Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
Item number 2, public hearing regarding adoption of the 2016-2017 budget. Ms. Pekarsky. A. Public hearing regarding the proposed 2016-17 annual budget and discussion of a possible tax rate. A public hearing on the tax rate along with the consideration and adoption of the tax will be taken place at a later meeting. The public is invited to attend and provide public comment.
Board President, members of the board, Dr. Galaviz. Tonight we're going to discuss the proposed budget for fiscal year 2017. Most of what you're going to see in here you've already seen. These are our enrollment projections. It shows a little bit of the trend and also where we are at as of right now based on our latest reports. We have the tax rate, no change there. The preliminary values came in very strong, but of course we have that caveat for the possible litigation. So we are setting aside some a reserve in case they are successful in their case. And then the preliminaries normally come in 5%, the certified will come in 5% below the preliminaries. These are projected tax revenues. Nothing here has changed. And as always, as the local increases, the state will decrease. There is a slight increase on the general fund. And you'll see that the food service revenue is the main increase. On the expenditure side, of course, with the increase in revenues for food service, there's also a corresponding increase in expenditures, and you'll see that the general fund on its own had a slight decrease in expenditures. So the estimated revenues minus the expenditures left us with a deficit of $1.9 million, and this is after the raises, after the health care costs. Information was requested based on the campuses. So this is a campus. The campuses were asked to, we reduced their allocations by 10%. And then we added in some money for the textbooks, which we normally are scrambling for later on, for the Princeton Review and for the laptop. So this year we won't have to look for the money. The money's already been given to the campus. Northwest had a decrease because this year there's not any construction. So that's why they're showing a decrease. And then Garcia, I believe, had a change in the student population and there's one less bilingual. This is very small, but you should have it in front of you. This is all the departments. The departments were given a target of 14% reduction. But once again, as they did last year, they had to start from zero. And so some departments gave up more than their 14%. And then when you see an increase, like here, Student Support Division, they were given the Kids Excel. So that's why you'll see a positive one. Here we have the breakdown by class object. Most notable to me was that the salaries and benefits, which is a question I'm most often asked, went from 81.4% to 84% this year. Here we also, tonight, we're going to be approving the budget for debt service and food service. So here is debt service down here with only a slight increase, and we'll be getting more into that as the year goes on when Rudy comes back down. This here is the food service, the total of the food service. is the budget divided up by function, which is what you will be approving. The total proposed budget compared to last year's budget. Last year was 56,797 for the general fund. And this year is 55,497, a slight decrease of $1,003,000. The food service budget, this is their amended total, and this is what they're proposing for next year. So they're showing a slight decrease in their budget. And as I said, the debt service has remains flat. The administrative cost ratio is something that we continue to keep an eye on. The projected for this year that we're in right now will be 12.71. And so we're projecting a slight decrease for fiscal 17 at 12.36. Once again, here's the food service. They're showing that they're expecting to bring in $179,000 to the positive. And I put this information at the bottom regarding the fund balance because in the past, when we had food service in-house, the expenditures were lower. When the expenditures were lower, the amount that we needed for the optimum fund balance was also lower. So we were put on a plan by TDA to spend down that money. Now that we have SFE and the expenditures are higher than they were in the past, the optimum fund balance will also be higher. So this gives them a target of $1,438,000 based on their current expenditures to try and work back up to from this, what we're projecting for the end of this year. So the effect on fund balance of the 101 for food service and the 199 for local. Here you see that for 2016, we're setting aside $350,000 in case the protest.
So none of that is in here. It's just blank.
Okay.
Am I on the...
You are on the right page.
Page 13, and it's...
Okay. Yes, I guess it didn't down. That one didn't download it. Wrong.
Do you have another copy?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That was
one. Yeah, yours does. I'll make these copies.
$2.260, which will leave our fund balance this includes the 2 million, but when you approved the raises?
Correct.
It didn't, and we brought it down from 2 million to 1.9 million.
I understand that, but what is the deficit? What is the deficit going to be for next week?
It's 2.260.
We're still short 267,000 dollars.
Well, because we're moving that 350,000 into the assigned. It's not actually going anywhere. We still have it here at the district, but we're just putting it aside in case something comes up and we need to write a check. We won't be saying, oh my gosh, you know, what's happening. We'll know that we will have 700,000 at the end of next year. So if you wanted to say that money, the 700,000, is not actually going anywhere. It stays here at the district. It's just earmarked in case of the loss. So we're less than your 2 million. Was that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this is the debt service fund. As I said, when Rudy comes down, we'll be talking about the next, we'll be working on the next refunding, and it started in October.
Yeah.
To continue in to bring down our debt service. Are there any other questions?
I have lots of them.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
So, back to your first, I'll just start at the beginning and go through. I wanted you to make your presentation before I ask my questions. Your first, our historical enrollment. What are we doing about the kids we're losing? What are we doing to proactively bring these kids back, get kids in the chair?
Excellent question. We've talked in cabinet about this very issue. And so some of the things that we're looking at to make sure that we're not back in the same situation next year, we're looking at enrollment. We're looking at attendance, working on making plans with the principals. We're looking at the student-teacher ratio. We're looking at the class loads. And then, of course, we'll be looking at programs again.
Lori, we're looking at branding the campuses so that it's a media blast, and so we start to focus on what the strengths are of the campuses. We're sending letters out to the parents, especially those in transition from fifth to sixth grade, so that we're recruiting them and we're retaining them, and we're spotlighting, we're making brochures so that they know what's coming up in those transition years. Those are some of the things that we're working on.
Excellent.
I do have a follow-up on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I have a follow-up. We did that last year, and we still saw a drop in our enrollment with EPISD, YISD, and SISD engaging with outside sources. How can we be assured that this isn't going to continue?
I think when you personalize it, I think that you have a better chance of getting one-on-one responses. And so that's what we've talked about. For the principals, for the staff to actually make the call out one-on-one rather than just receiving a generic letter, we want you to stay in our district. So maybe going one step further to try to personalize it with families.
Just in regards to, I think we're going to really have to concentrate on that and probably beef up that area because it's important for us to get our own message. We know that the Times, which is only ink paper that really does not really send any positive messages. And so I think part of the goal has been to create our own message, one. And the other question I have is in regards to, we had EPISD last year send letters out to our kids to go into some of their high schools. I think what we need to do is do that, especially for this region and showing them, especially our early college high school, which is one of the best. So I think part of it is beefing up that marketing. And then the other concern I have is, my understanding is Idea Public Schools is probably gonna be in our district by 2018. And so that's gonna be another major issue. So we need to be way ahead of this game because the statistics that they're throwing out are not transparent into so that way we have that raw data early on.
And Ms. Speaker has reached out to area 8th grade students. She's asked for, she had an open reference request for their address so that we can recruit that way as well.
What is she doing Franklin, like Franklin, all the surrounding? I think we need to recruit the whole west side to
we
that campus and send out a...
Ninth graders, again, it's when you open your borders, you get students. You know, one of the things that we're hearing from, especially the Reyes, is it's easier just to go that way instead of crossing the highway to get my kid to sixth grade. So it's also marketing our middle schools.
If I may add also too, I think the showcasing our instructional programs that we have at our campuses, you know, that we are just as competitive. Yes, we're facing Brown Elementary, Brown Middle School, but yet Alder Redton Middle School had 6 distinctions and Brown did not have 1. Canisteo Middle School had 4 distinctions and Brown Middle School did not have 1. We're the only high school on the west side that has a T-STEM designation. We're showing the competition of scholarships, which was that scholarship thing that we held to show the community that our schools are just as competitive and just as good. And as we keep increasing, and you know, right now we've not showcased our star EOC scores, but they're very promising. We're looking at some of the highest in the region. Unfortunately, we've had some problems with ETS and their platform, but as soon as we get everything on July 5th, I'm hoping to share that with the board, how we're doing, and those things to say, hey, you know what? Our kids are being as competitive and showing those scores and those results. That's what people are gonna come to our schools.
And we know that, I've seen that in the data. We're providing a value-added education. We've got some of the best programs, but we're not displaying that, marketing that out to our community. And so, you know, when it comes to, hey, USA Today, one of the top schools, I mean, imagine what, I mean, we could probably, you know, one, send out that thing to ours. Why don't we send it back to his area, you know, and show them that we're a way better district. And if we're able to flatline, you know, come up with graphs showing, you know, the distinctions between us and Brown and say, okay, do you really want to go to that school? You know, that will make the perception of our school district because come to what it really is, because the perception isn't there. I mean, the perception's there, and the reality with the perception is that the reality is way better.
I think having the graduation at Haskin last year, even talking to the people working there, they didn't know how it was so big because they just thought of it as a small community way on the west side. This morning I did a commercial with Providence. So marketing Providence and marketing why it's got to be a place to live. So it's getting rid of that small town mentality and again in aligning the vision, the T-STEM, the new tech network with where we're trying to go. You know, so again and I thank the board for reading with the Princeton Review. That was huge. Our Val and Sal went to both Ivy League schools, I understand, the first time. So again, we're building those systems, and again, I think the board...
I mean, that should be an article in itself, you know? All that stuff should be... And we don't have to rely on the Times anymore. And so I just hope this is the year that it actually gets done.
And yet, we've cut our public relations office. 80,000 decrease there. So we don't have the tool to make that happen. So that's something we all have to consider. That if there's nobody hired to do that, who's going to take that job on? I don't see anybody stepping up to do it. It's a consideration. We don't have that tool by not having anybody.
The government relations.
No government relations, no PIO.
Yeah, yeah, like,
do we got a PIO?
PIO.
Okay, thank you.
And I think the focus of a school district should be the school district. sometimes we try to play politics.
But we're in the fight for our lives here.
But
because
I have a smaller question. What
are
we doing just to, let's forget all the ones we don't have. We have a whole group that we do have. We have 5,900 kids that are going to school here, but not every one of them are in that chair every day. So what are we doing to get those 5,900 in their chairs? Is there a bike rally or bike raffle at each school? Perfect attendance, you're getting the bicycle?
We'd be giving popsicles away. We'd be giving...
That would be better than a popsicle, Dr. Okay, but you've got to, you know, ramp up for the ones that we've got. Get them in the classroom. Are you doing anything to...
We lost our truancy officer. And
well...
I'm concerned about that. I know it's an outdated sort of structure, and yes, the state decriminalized truancy, but I look at it as if you get rid of a position that kids can look up to and say, I need to respect that position, come to school, that's an issue. I mean, 60 kids is $360,000 a year.
I think, if I might, real quick, I think what we need to look at is first getting quality leadership. Once you get that quality leadership that's showing how to put excellent systems in place, then we can support it. But us throwing money into that and not having those systems in place, it's going to continue to be the same, and that's what we've seen in the past. So what we need to make sure is we hire quality individuals, make sure that there's systems and that we're growing in the right direction, then we can support it. And that's why, I mean, I agree with Lori, but at the end of the day, if we have another person and yeah, we're in the same as last year, then it's not getting any better. So let's make sure we have a quality individual. That's your job. Hopefully from there we're able to, you know, grow, and then when we see the growth, and let's support it, because when it's 2010 and we do have IDEA Public Schools, we have our own shop, and we're like, hey, this is what you have in Canutillo, and even though the El Paso Times is catering to them, this is what we actually are in comparison to them, you know, and that's what we need to do, and we need to set it up now, and so hopefully we see that growth within this year, so next year, hopefully there's more revenue where we can say, okay, let's support it, let's look at this marketing, let's find this one. But right now we're in such a budget crunch.
The only place we're going to get money right now is kids.
Yep.
A 1%, I told Dr. Galavis today, I read this recently, 1% increase on 7,000 children in attendance is $300,000. That's a lot of money. That's 1%. If we just went from the 96, which I think we're carrying now, up to 97% in their desk, we just got $300,000, or maybe $200,000. If we could bring that back up to 98%, which is what we used to be at, we'd be rolling better. We got to get these kids interested in being in their class.
Well, you can get them interested, but if they have all kinds of things going on at home, they're not going to show up. And if we're not willing to invest that money to make sure that their home life is better, they're not going to show up.
Now, I'm going to give an example of this particular situation that you're talking about. I have a relative that he stopped coming to school, you know, say support services. And no one, and my sister-in-law still keeps getting letters. And he's out of town, and staff knows that he's out of town. He should have been dropped a long time ago. So I think there's a disconnect too between staff, between campuses, and this is a perfect example to where we're losing money. And because staff knew that he was gone, he's an adult. He should have been dropped a long time ago, but he should have been dropped too. So there's a disconnect too between departments. So this is something that needs to be looked at too internally.
So I have another question on this one. I don't see our weighted attendance, our WADA, anywhere in here. That would be
the average daily attendance.
The weighted. Our weighted, which is significant. And I don't see that. So I'd like to then I guess go to page 5. No. That's not correct.
Just for the record, this meeting, it came in at 5:44 p.m.
that we went up salaries and benefits from 81.4 Ms. Bikarski to 84%, which is the very top that the state would like to see us at. How did we get there when we lost students? How did we increase the number of employees yet decrease our number of students this year?
I'm not sure that we increased employees.
Will increase going from 81 to 84, or is it just?
It's the salaries and the salary.
Be the benefits
and the health.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. So we're hearing all this that we've got less students, less money put out to our campuses. Yet we know that our responsibility as board members is to make sure we have a campus-centered, student-centered budget. And we can't do that again for the second year as robustly as we'd like to. What are you planning going forward to change that? What's your plan to overcome this? We're into year two.
Well, as I stated before, we're looking at just, you hit on the top two, attendance and enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
The other things are looking at the programs, the student-teacher ratio. I know that we like small classrooms, but it's rather expensive proposition. Dr. Gill, would you like to add?
No, I think also, when the board did not act on the facility master plan, consolidate or do something with schools.
We can't do that this year, though.
No, but I mean, it could have been.
There are some things that we can do right now.
So,
what things can we do right now? I mean, we were presented with the facilities master plan at the end of May. We're presented with a budget as is. There's really no adjustments that we could have made.
Well, that's why we're making adjustments. We're hoping on the city master plan to give us some direction.
Well, it does give us direction for the future.
When the BCE closure was brought to the table in Indianapolis, sent out to the community, you know, and they provided it up here, and so we stopped. And so now we're readjusted by looking at, you know, we're looking at positions every time. Is it a critical need? Is it just a wish? And we came up with a 1-point diet in 2 months. So we are looking at personnel, because that's the only way you're going to get to that,
right?
2 million is through personnel. It's a lot of getting looking at, especially here at Central Office.
I still go back to my question. The facilities master plan was presented to us in May. How can we make any changes? I mean, I don't think we can make any changes now.
You know, and I'd like to tell y'all something. We just got back from San Antonio. The president of the board from McAllen, Texas, told me that the people that did our facilities master plan, that they are now having to pay another company. They caused them to lose the bond issue. The entire community is furious. And they had to now spend almost $800,000. In fact, they lost their superintendent. Everything has gone south.
Well, that's bond compared to facilities.
No, it's the same. It's the same exact thing.
I don't think any of this information we got was for bond. I don't think any of the direction was for bond. This was a facilities assessment.
They had the same thing done. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But they took it forward a few more steps. It did not go well.
I think we need to look at it as a guideline. But I'm more concerned, as you're saying, that we didn't act. And I'm concerned with that sort of direction. We didn't have enough time to act. We're here in June.
It's just something like
that. Yeah, we haven't had enough chance to digest it. Yes, we got the information. I'm all for consolidating, but we have to go out there and we have to sell this to the community. We have to redistrict. We have to rezone. I mean, this is not going to happen overnight. That's the majority of our cost savings, correct?
Is there any way we can move our sixth graders at least this year? I mean, we can go out door to door as board members and explain to the parents what we're doing.
I think that's going to be a hard sell to sixth graders.
Yeah, because even if you do that, there's really no cost savings.
Because you're
still need the teachers, you still need...
You would need to join the two middle schools.
We just need to make sure we get kids in those classrooms. And what is our attendance rate right now?
96,
95.
And so if we could have that at 98, we'd be rolling, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we need to have more middle schools at more than 50%. We need to have the middle schools more than 50%.
But if we have enough students,
yeah,
if we bring... If we bring in 3% that are already there, just bring them into the classroom?
Attendance.
And our attendance is...
So thank you. I appreciate that, Mrs. Karski. You've answered my questions.
Wow.
Is there something we could have done?
What? Pre-K is hurting us.
Okay.
And
as far as the facilities, I'm going to stick to that one because... I'd love to act on it today. I mean, there's plenty of great information.
Right.
I just,
what
can we do?
For example, it's like when the attempt to, Lance said his word, it's like outsource, right?
Yeah, radical ideas get radical reaction. And I understand that. But now we have real data to say
still
we can consolidate schools.
You can still do that. It's an opportunity, and then those benefits.
So you're suggesting that outsourcing was a facilities master plan? Suggestion?
No, it wasn't a facility master plan, but it was a suggestion brought even right now. If you ask SAP,
I'm all for anything that we need to do. I'm just concerned that do we have the data? Facilities master plan gave us data. We're going to consolidate, we're going to outsource. I don't think that ever came out. We're going to be able to create one giant middle school, which I completely agree with, a ninth grade center. But that takes time. That all takes time, and there's nothing in this short term that we can do.
Is there anything we can do right now?
We have to sell it to the community. The community has to buy into this.
And if that's what we choose to do to save money, I mean, that's where we need to
go.
Is it even viable?
Just do it.
If we do it?
Yeah.
If we just do it.
We need to just do it. If that's what's going
to
save us money, then that's what we need to do.
I want
to
say this comment about it. Right now we're getting blamed. We could say it's both ways. But here you are telling us that probably you mentioned outsourcing, and you mentioned the closing of the schools, the changing of closing of a school and moving kids around. But yet when you go out to the community, you're saying, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to talk with you on your behalf." And then you kind of tell us, and then. One thing, and then you go out there in the community, and then you throw the board under the bus. So I don't know which direction you're coming. Either you're coming or you're going. I don't know if it's seriously which direction you're going.
I'm not throwing the board under the bus.
What you do?
I know the sentiment of the board as a board does not want to close schools. So
but if we need to make that tough decision,
we'll make
that tough decision. I hate to say it sometimes, and I said this in closed session and in open session. Give us the facts so we can make the hard decisions. Don't shield us from the hard facts, because the hard facts are for us to deal with. And to say we didn't act upon a facilities master plan, I'm sorry, we can't act upon it. There's no time. There really isn't. So I'm more concerned as to the direction, because it's not the second year in a row. I mean, this is the third year in a row of a deficit.
But it didn't happen overnight.
I agree with you, but we haven't also put anything in place.
Yes, the budget for fiscal 16, we budgeted 3.9 million deficit, and as you saw, we're hoping not to get to that point. So that's why the 1.9 million is an improvement over prior year, and hopefully next year we can come back to with even better.
I guess, Madam Chair, if I'm not, I guess the three options, I mean, the two most expensive costs that we have for our district is our employees and our human capital and then our insurance. Those are the two most high cost things. And the only way to look at those two things to actually minimize, one is to cut employees, and two is either to look at alternative health options or stuff that I've brought on the table in the past in regards to auditing, looking at ways of seeing if there's funds that have been. I mean, those are things that we can look at that are no cost to the district to see if we are, you know, maybe there is some savings, and they'll do it completely free. And if there's any savings, they'll get a percentage of it. So it's not a cost. I think that's an option that we could probably look at and say, okay, you know what, if there's no savings, then okay, that's great. If there is, then hey, you know. I think TASB does it under the cooperatives, just like anything else.
Is it something that we can do for next year, guys?
Well, we could do it this summer.
Mm-hmm. Will it impact us next year?
It could have an impact.
We're killing our fund balance.
It could have an impact.
I mean, we're all about our fund balance right now. We're making sure that we've got a month. I mean, there's no policy that says we have to have a minimum amount. There's, you know, guidelines that says we should have X amount.
If you look at Corpus Christi, we've been Austin ISD, where they've done some of this. They've seen anywhere from 500 to a million, they've been doing money where they've been able to recuperate and provide that back to the. We could see it. I mean, the thing is, I don't know. I'm not a professional. We could have them come talk to us and then see if we want to go that route. I would recommend it. I recommend it.
Like, they evaluate the whole health plan completely.
And I believe Hector has already looked into that when it was brought on the table. And I think there were some barriers, so I don't know if Hector wants to chime in on, or if you remember, but some of those things were.
I don't know if I was assigned with a cost benefit analysis of doing this particular service. And, you know, the information that we came across. I don't remember exactly how many reports we looked at, but we were able to extrapolate the percentages of recovery for these reports that we had seen. And that we just didn't see the cost benefit, you know, related to doing the service. And that was kind of the results of the study that we did. So we considered it, and we decided to not move forward with that. So that was the the end result of what occurred.
I think we should just bring them in. If there's no cost, look at it.
Yeah, and it's free.
And see what the cost
is. Is it free?
Yeah, and it's TASB. I mean, we use TASB for all sorts of stuff.
How quickly can they do it, though?
I don't know. I mean,
probably as quick as we ask.
I think one of the barriers was that in our contract, it says that there's, I guess they don't allow these type of services where it's based on the percentage that's recovered. And so that's.
Well, it's the insurance industry making sure that they protect themselves, but there's ways of entry in regards to what we're allowed to do or not. And I'm not a professional. I say we have them come in, give us a presentation, and if we like it, we can go with it, and if we don't, we don't. But I mean, we use TASB for everything. Why can't we just use them for this and see if there is, especially if there's no cost?
And we can have that on the regular agenda. In the next meeting, we can have that added to the regular agenda to ask them to come and present, or just to tell somebody what it's going to cost, what it's going to look like, what their success rate is, give us an overview.
Well, the time is now for insurance issues, because
Absolutely. Last
time that we
brought
this issue was we missed a July meeting,
and then
in August we were told we've got to make a decision now.
We're going to see an increase in cost in the next 2-3 months.
Oh, of course we are.
So we're continuing to see that. So are we getting, let's look at it. And then the other thing is, on the first part, we need to continue to look at streamlining central office, looking at ways where we can make it more efficient, and y'all need to look at either combining positions. I'm not a professional in that, but there's areas where we could look at where we could be more efficient as a district. I mean, rule number one is to have quality teachers in the classroom, right? Second is to have quality administrators, and then to make sure we have an efficient support group. So I think we need to look at that and continue to look at that, because, I mean, my vote is no on this $2 million, deficit. And so,
what's your option, though? You say no,
option,
we have to pass a budget.
Our option right now is, one, to look at streamlining our central office and the other positions that we can that might not be effective enough or might be able to be moved somewhere else. And two, look at ways at our health insurance where we can make sure we're getting the best one and maybe be able to recuperate money where we could.
Well, that takes time. I'm concerned that our back is against the wall, And I agree with you, we should look at streamlining.
What
health insurance right now, we have a group of employees that pay zero.
Well, there's some, not only that, Adrian, there's some programs that no longer exist. Employees are still here.
I agree with you.
And
I'm more concerned
here.
About the timing of this. We've been passed with a budget, and
that's
now
still,
we're
that's
June.
Still through the time. I mean, we're probably more than likely going to approve the budget, and through the time, we have to make sure we close that gap so when next year it's like, oh, you know what? It was only $1 million. It might be in November where we could say, you know what? It was only $1 million. You know? It might be in 2-3 months. You know? It might be, we don't know. Let's bring in the experts, let staff make sure that they can continue to look at ways of whether it's reorganization, whether it's streamlining. But next year we can't continue this right.
Yeah, there's no monitoring right now. And not to say that you're not monitoring, I don't think that there's any action for the board or administration to take if we reach a certain benchmark that we say, this is not what we agree upon. We're over a budget, and we need to step back. We need to start making some actions, either, you know, a freeze, a hiring freeze, whatever. I don't think that we've been presented with those sort of options.
Mr. Medina, we just need kids in the classroom.
I understand that. And kids are being affected right now with this budget. We can't have a
96% attendance rate, Dr. Gallopies. I have to be honest with you. I think that's as low, if we saw a 10-year trend, that's as low as probably we've been.
That's only going to give us 300,000, to be honest. 300,000,
well, sure,
maybe a million.
A booster.
But that doesn't get to us until next year. You see what I'm saying? It's a delay in this ADA.
No, we could. I think we could. I mean, let's do this. Let's see if the board wants to do it and see what timeline they have on that. And we need staff to continue to look at streamlining and reorganizing the central office.
Ms. Fritzi, I'd like to add that to the regular agenda.
To the 28th?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
No.
Well, that's not monitoring, or TASB. I agree with the TASB.
Yeah.
I'm concerned with this budget
free,
as it
the
is.
What's the worst they're going to tell us?
And I'd like to have experts come in and tell us, hey, here's what we see outside.
Well, first, let's
call what facilities
to see if somebody from TASB could come in.
We can ask, but we don't know if in a week they'll be able to be.
Well, we can
even
if they don't
come.
We don't need a hot body here. We just need, here's your proposal. Because they're tasked.
But they have to.
They have to look at our numbers.
Yeah, they have to look at our numbers.
I mean,
we can't say 1 week.
Well, this is more of a professional service is what they have to offer.
Here's
and
what
then.
We have to offer. Do you want it, yes, no? If we say yes, then roll forward. And the warm body comes in July, and we roll down the road.
As is, this budget hurts kids. Correct. Would you agree with that?
That's going to have a serious...
We're killing board-funded field trips with this budget. Am I correct in saying that?
You're correct.
I'm correct in saying that. We're killing board-funded field trips. This is affecting kids.
And so that's where I come to my thought that what's better, money sitting in the bank or using it on children?
Agreed.
And it's not, we are not looking at, you know, what's against all rules with the state is, are you funding recurring expenses out of your fund balance? We are not doing that. We haven't done that. Everything that we've done that has caused that fund balance to reduce has been a one-time expense, correct, Ms. Pekarsky?
Well, actually, right now, we're in the
we're doing current.
On a daily. We are using it for recovery because we're using it to
it's compounding.
Yes, it is.
And well, then that's a problem.
That's a problem. But I'd also like to say to Mr. Medina's point, if you want to reinstate the board funded field trips, the budget has not been adopted yet. We could adopt it.
I feel that it sends a bad precedent. It sets a bad precedent that we're not ourselves as a board making any sacrifices. And for that, I know it may not be a popular option, and I've been the first one to bring, you know, very unpopular, you know, things to the board, so I'm going to be the one to do it. I'd say, you know, we lead by example, and, you know, we cut our own board travel by half and say, we cut it by half and say it's 25,000 instead of the 50,000. We do 50,000 for our board funded field trips, so kids don't get affected. and that it's closely monitored, because yes, we're in the media, but this has got nothing to do with the media. This has got to do with leading by example. Yes, we need education, and I'm the first one to say that there's value to those outside conferences, but we should definitely lead by example and say, listen, let's take a little bit out of our own pocket.
Well, we can also do training online.
Exactly.
Well, so, there's a lot of webinars and things that can be done.
So I'd like to add that to it, if we could, because then we don't affect kids, we lead by example, that way, you know, we show that we're, you know, making the sacrifices we need to. And a majority of your travel is already funded, so it's not like it's coming out of us. It's a benefit for us to have you as a TASB board member. So it's not like...
So, I'm looking on page 8.
On page 8 of this presentation, or which page 8?
Yes.
And we could do that.
8. Yes.
We can do that.
So then we agree at 25,000?
No, it doesn't take us to that.
The budget as amended was 110,000. Proposed budget's 129 for next year. Board of Trustees.
So it'd be a little more than...
Or you could just take it out of there. You could just take it out of there.
Yes, 50,000 out of that.
What? It was increased. Yeah, just in, you know.
No, why is it increased?
It was increased due to the elections.
Oh.
Election costs.
Okay. Ah, there you go.
Oh.
You got elections. So are we okay with that?
I'm fine.
Take 50 out of Board of Trustees, move it over to...
And Ms. Bikarski, we will relook it. We'll have a refined ADA at some point. Our budget will adjust in September, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And so this would be, in your opinion...
This is conservative.
And so if we, at this point, made sure that our students got the 50...
Well, because of
there's a possibility that those funds will be replenished and mine goes on.
Yes, ma'am. If there are additional students, that's one of our agreements is that we would come back.
Okay.
Then.
Okay, so I guess we need some detail on that. The Board of Trustees budget right now is 129 because of the election. The election's going to cost us 30,000. Más o menos. So our budget for the Board of Trustees overall was 100,000.
I would just say take the 25.
No, it's not only that because they have to pay Region 19 and they have to pay other
administration
fees.
Could you give us a detail on that? Is it possible? Again, I want to lead by example. And I think this is a good sort of foot forward, not only to the community, but to our staff. You know, they don't realize that we spend $800,000 a year on just staff training alone. That's not the board. That's staff. I mean, we're committed to training, and I still think we should commit to our board being trained.
Dr. Galavis, is the administration willing to give up anything out of their budget, out of the superintendent's budget?
Half of your salary?
No.
Looking what?
Are you willing to kick in anything too?
We'll kick in 25.
So if we each gave 25, we're to 50 and we can...
Yes, ma'am.
Let's do it.
That way we get the board funded field trips back on the board. And I just hate to have kids, I mean,
it's
stories
wrong.
I hear are our kids are going to things that they've never experienced because they're from Canutillo or from, you know, Westway or from, you know, Vinton. They've never been to a movie theater.
Yep.
That's scary.
So, Madam Chair, I would like to instruct the administration or direct the administration to increase the budget for student field trips by 50 and decrease administration's superintendent and board of trustees each by 25.
Yes, and
to cause those.
The travel budget is 32,000 for the course. 32.
For next year? What was it this year?
It was 27.
You did 52.
And I believe what?
That's probably why I thought it was 25.
And don't come back with my budget amendments.
Yes. And we also need to police ourselves.
48,000.
How much?
48,000.
48,000. There you go.
48,000 was a travel?
Mm-hmm. For this year? Yeah.
And we spent it in 10 years? 46.
Mm-hmm.
That was a budget amendment.
I just think we need to be a little bit careful. I'm not suggesting we stop. I'm just saying we select the right ones. You know, I've been to SLI. Didn't go to SLI this year. We go next year because of the legislative session. I think it's a very powerful session.
It was spectacular. The sessions were as good this year as any I've ever seen.
Okay, we're getting off topic.
No, no, I'm glad that we're all at the same point that we can make that decision.
Any other questions on any slides? So we just need to make that change.
She needs to read the motion, but it's going to need to be as adjusted because we're going to be crossing functions with the from 41 to 11. So the public is invited to provide comment.
I guess more so than not, before we move forward, I want to be assured by the administration that they keep us up to date as to where they believe they need to be, because I don't think we've been kept in the know. Maybe we have, but I don't think it's been a part of an agenda. This is the third year that we've been in this position, and I really don't want to make it a fourth. So maybe an assurance of measurements, milestones, benchmarks, whatever, action items, and say, if we're not here at this point, we need to do something. And it has to be communicated that we're all in this.
Item B, consider approval of adoption of 2016-2017 annual budget.
So there's a motion, second,
and then your adjustments.
The adjustment is the second.
No, motion to approve as amended, with the adjustments.
With the adjustments
discussed.
And Ms. Fikarski will get us our water.
Yes, ma'am.
Water.
Yes. So, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
We're actually approving it as a meeting, not as a workshop.
Correct.
This is a zone separate meeting.
Yes.
It's not a general meeting. Motion to approve agenda as presented. Sorry, budget as presented with adjustments discussed regarding board travel and board funded field trips.
I'll second. There was a motion and a second. No questions. Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Clarification, this is with a 2 million, 2.2 deficit?
Well, it's a 1.9.
1.9 deficit. Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No, and that's because of the deficit.
Mrs. Searles?
You know, I feel hesitant because of the deficit, and I'll tell you something else. I also feel hesitant because I don't feel that the board has been kept abreast of all of this enough, Dr. Galavis. I feel like 2 years running, we've had to gasp and go,
if we have to.
It would certainly be an easier pill to swallow. And I know we've had probably 3 meetings, but right now, we need to change that. Starting tomorrow, if we go through the prescribed, the budget, that our goals should adhere to our budget, should adhere to where is this in your 5-year plan, where is this for our policy. You know, there's steps, and I haven't seen them for 2 years. It got better this year, but I'm still hesitant that I feel pretty left out on a Thursday afternoon when I get something like this when I'm leaving town and it's Father's Day to consider. I'll vote yes, but it is with hesitation that, please, Dr. Galavis, we said this to you last year, please keep us abreast. Please broaden the scope for the board. We can't make good decisions without good information.
Your vote, Ms. Searles?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I add something?
Well, let's finish this and then we're done.
Well, is the vote done?
No.
And Ms. Gracias?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. I just want to add, I think as a board, we've known the circumstances we've been in
and it's been, I mean, we've seen them red, black and red, black and white, and I think next year we need to make sure we continue to make that same decision. And so, I mean, we knew about it last year, we knew about it the year before, we still made decisions to go into fund balance, so I hope next year in the administration, I don't want to see this.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Pekarsky.
And I think that Ms. Pekarsky is doing her best. I've spoken with her about the budget, and I really hope that she does keep putting her right foot forward the best she can to help us with this deficit, with this budget. To always be aware that we, no matter what, are going to be aware of what's going on, and that we're going to do our best this year. We're going to go over and above what we've done before to see that we're on top of this, that we take care of this budget, so it doesn't happen again next year.
Can I ask you something? Our districts around the state, which I think I know the answer to, facing these same issues.
Yes, ma'am. There are districts that are in the negative. There are districts at zero, but we are not trying to get on that list.
Well, no, we don't want on their list. All I'm saying is, I don't think this is a year when anybody's going, gee, I sure have a lot of leftover money. The man from Andrews, Texas said they gave back $4 billion to the state, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to get money to operate. Thank you for doing the best with what we had. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's not as much fun as it used to be.
And it's not going to get any better.
Eventually.
Do adjournment, guys. So
I didn't write adjournment. The time is 6:36.
Do you guys want to take a quick 5-minute break, or do you want to get started for the next one?
You guys want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a little
break. Quick 5-minute
break.
Minute,
yeah,
because
yeah,
we have
break.
To wait. Quick.
Well, of course.
Marnie.